Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on videos, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al.
I'm good, Jess. How are you?
Yes, I'm all right. You know, some interesting things are happening in America, isn't it?
Oh yeah, not off. So we've lost Sleepy Joe, and we've now got Sleepy Don, who's the who of course has replaced Joe as the oldest potential presidential candidate of all time. Yeah. So of course all the jokes about ageism and dementia and everything else can be aimed at him now. And of course we've got Kamala Harris is coming, who is I think. She could be a uniting force. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Part of me is not convinced. I know Joe Biden's endorsed her. Someone did say actually on the weekend. I saw on social media. Does Joe know you stepped down yet? But and he's endorsed Kamala Harris. But Obama hasn't, which is very odd. He hasn't said anything yet. And
the reason for that is because there is hope for / expectation in some quarters that his wife Michelle Obama will also put her name forward. So it's very possible that there could be a two horse race here, because I think if Michelle Obama goes for it, she was asked to run beforehand and didn't. But I think if she did, that could also. I think she'd probably beat Kamala Harris, to be honest. But in the absence of that, I think Kamala Harris is a great candidate. We didn't see much of her during Joe's tenure. That's the only thing. And I think I think if you're going to be a decisive political force, you've got to be seen. And she wasn't that visible. So that's the only sort of possible black mark against her. But anyway, it's good. It's good. And I think, do we want Donald Trump to be president? I don't know.
He may favour the stock market and business and lower tax and all that stuff, but he's so divisive, you know. And I think what's worrying as well, if whoever is announced for president, if Trump loses, there's going to be trouble again. You know, there'll be trouble again from his supporters, and that's the trouble. So they still don't accept the last defeat. It's like
I know.
So someone loses, you know. But part of me thinks I wasn't convinced. You know, Joe Biden, when they were on the weekend before he threw the hat in or gave up, he said he's going back to campaign on Monday. And I was saying to my mother-in-law, IKEA or something, I said, oh, don't, Joe, just, you've done enough, you're old enough, knock it on the head. So I genuinely can't see, the way his health is deteriorating, I wouldn't be surprised he doesn't make the actual, you know, elections, let alone the entire term. So I was saying, it's ridiculous how they're carrying on with this farce. But I think someone more dynamic than Kamala Harris is needed, really. I don't know who it is, but I'm not convinced she'll be, well, unless someone throws their hat in the ring like, Michelle Obama, we don't know. But I'm not convinced she's dynamic enough. Like I said, she took a back seat and there's been a lot of, you can't judge on social media because people pick up on mistakes, but she's made mistakes. They maybe need a new face. This dynamic business person, maybe, you know, got a bit of experience. But they haven't much time, have they? It's in November, the election.
Only 4 months. That's no time at all. So, I mean, the one thing with Kamala Harris is that because she's VP, she can dip straight into the existing fund, which I think is well in excess of $100 million now. That's a promotional fund. So she can take full advantage of that, and she can use that and bring yourself to the masses. But whether that will be enough to beat Sleepy Don, who knows?
Yeah. Let's look at the markets here. So it's not a bad looking day today. It's there's aim all shit. And as you see, in fact, it's very much like this sort of rally. We've had this rally here, going breaking out at 763 up to 810, which is the bull market, technical bull market, 20% up from the low down here. But you see here, after a big run, it does pull back, and you have this sort of range for a while. How long did that last for? From January pretty much to April. And so this is probably going to happen again now, which is nice. You see support here, which will carry on, hopefully. It'll be around that. And then maybe you have this sort of resistance around this level. Mm-hmm. But then we'll see some kind of, I don't know how long it'll carry, a couple of months maybe, bounce something down, then a break up higher into a proper bull market. And I think that may be coincide. There's no coincidence, actually. If you look at it, if you take a couple of months, and that's how long this range took,
yeah,
probably going to break up around about September, which is when the apparently there's 100% chance now of interest rates coming down in because they pushed back in August.
Interest rates coming down, the results of the US election.
I think towards the end of the year, maybe get a decent rally here, depending how chaotic those elections are. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have riots going on, who knows? But I mean, we're no doubt the central banks are looking to ease regardless. I mean, that's the biggest driver of markets. When it comes to the elections, they are sideshow. You get a little bit of a blip and a rally and stuff like that, but the real driver is interest rates coming down, that central banks driven. And so I think most of them are indicating towards September. I think that that'll be a nice little end of year rally and a carry on, then a start of a proper bull market, it'll be quite good.
I think all of the macro events are lining up to really provide a driver into Christmas. And I think if we see further falls in US interest rates and UK interest rates, and of course the European Central Bank interest rates, I think we're well on course for another bull market. And the outcome of the US election will be a key driver too, because the US, everyone says, of course, the old saying, the Dow sneezes, we catch a cold. Of course the opposite's true. So it's a very important time, I think, for the markets, and it does also set the scene for a great opportunity for investors to come into the market now and take advantage of those gains.
Okay, so 125 days, that'll be, it'll be September. If it's the same kind of range distance time as the last one, September time, big rally happening. Cool, all right, stocks, what are you looking at, Al?
Okay, so Brave Bison, BBSN. We've spoken about Brave Bison before.
It's had a bison up there, or it's a bull.
Yeah. So shares are having a really strong run at the moment. Of course, big story early this year. Brave Bison made an unsolicited bid for the Mission Group, which was roundly rebuffed by the Mission Group.
It was a close escape, I think that was.
I don't know. Brave Bison saw synergies. They saw opportunities to upsell their existing clients and the network of clients that the Mission Group had. Difference was, of course, Mission Group have got a big debt pile, and that's the issue. But we heard, of course, from Mission Group about the growth in the company. The company's a digital advertising technology group. It's got Brave Bison Performance, which plans and buys media on Google and TikTok. It acquired Social Chain, which creates content for social media platforms and works with influencers to create content. That's their biggest driver of growth at the moment, and this is what I think is the real exciting factor in the mix here. There's Brave Bison Commerce, which builds e-commerce platforms to support digital commerce operations. Furniture Village is one such recipient of that technology, and Brave Bison's own media network, which is a portfolio of channels across YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, and so on. Over 1 billion monthly users on that platform. Now, The group's walked away from Mission Group, unsuccessful. So I think everyone's been waiting to see just how well they've progressed without it. And let me tell you, they've done a pretty good job here. So we heard today that the trading for 6 months to 30th of June. Revenue grew 1% to 10.1 million. Adjusted EBITDA improved by 12% to 2.1 million. Adjusted pre-tax by 1.8% to 1.8 million. Net cash grew by 58% to 6.8 million. So this is where the group, yes, I think looking at Mission Group, a lot of that cash would have gone, of course, on revising or restructuring Mission Group debt. But I think the longer this goes on, the more they can grow that debt pile, the stronger they'll become. And they can then go on the acquisition trail and perhaps buy companies which are synergistic, which don't have the huge debt piles that the Mission Group had. But the company also said that it's very comfortable with its full-year outlook, and it expects cash inflow in the second quarter to exceed 2 million due to large receipts during July and August, and there's much more to come. Social Chain continues to drive margins. It was a successful integration, and whether the group will revisit the Mission Group acquisition or look at other acquisitions, who knows? But they've got they're going to continue investing using their cash balance into AI driven solutions along with the Social Chain solution. So you know this company's done really well, and I think at this point, a lot of people have been waiting for the outcome of the trading statement today, and I think that's been a pretty positive reaction so far.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, trading that range up from February, pretty much lower end support there, 2.2 pence, mm-hmm. and it's rallied 2.8, and it's gone in between that. So, yeah, it needs to break that, really. But I wonder what the TMG, let's see what their share price is doing. Yeah, it's again. That's not.
Hasn't really done. I mean, it's gained a bit since the rebuffing, but I would say it's fairly limited there. You know, tampered by debt. I'm not sure if there have been any recent trading updates, but I haven't looked out for any to be perfectly honest. But but anyway, we're not talking about Mission Group today. It's certainly worth a revisit at some point, but. But yeah, most recent one there, just holdings and companies. So nothing since the there's an AGM trading statement back in June where I think they they'd rebuffed the takeover bid from Brave Bison.
Yeah, in line with the board's expectations, the pleased report for the new business wins underpinned by the investment made in previous years to enhance Mission's service offering. Value restoration plan they've got there. Okay, here we are. That's marvellous. What's next, Al?
Okay, so I want to look at First Class Metals. This is a company that's listed on London's main market. It has a standard list, should I say. Now, this company has a portfolio of assets in Canada. It has on the north shore of Lake Superior, you have many, many well-established mining operations, and there's the Schreiber-Hemlo Gold Belt, which is world famous. And of course, sitting on that, you have the Barrick-Williams-Hemlo Gold Mine, which has produced 23 million ounces of gold to date. Now, First Class has a lot of property around there, which is contiguous in terms of mineralization with the mineralization that runs across Barrick and Hemlo. But it put out a trading statement a few weeks back, an operations update, just to outline what it plans to do. That just north of the Hemlo gold mine is the Dead Otter Lake, the company has what it's...
Dead Otter Lake?
Yes, I know, which is a rather depressing title, but there we go. So there's a huge outcrop there where the company have undertaken sampling, and there's a new process called photon assay now, as opposed to the old fire assay method, which is lengthy, takes time. Photon assay uses a high-energy X-ray machine to detect gold and silver within rock samples. It's non-destructive as opposed to traditional fire assay. And certainly the results that we've had back, or the company's had back from North Hemlo, are very encouraging. And the great thing with the photon assay process, which has also been used by other companies such as ECR Minerals, of course, in there are Australia projects in Victoria. It's a very quick an accurate way to ascertain the quality of the asset or the quality of the sample, and of course the next steps for the company to take. If we go to the west of Lake Superior, just northwest of Thunder Bay, the company also owns the Sunbeam project. The Sunbeam project is an historic gold mine where there are several programs that have been undertaken there, where the company have looked at and reassayed existing core samples from the old mine, and also through analysis work, they've identified new strike areas and a porphyry which is anomalous in gold. They've reported a number of great quality samples from there. They're going to be continuing with exploration work in that area this year. We'll get some more news through on that. Also, they have an asset up to the north of Lake Superior, which is called Zigzag. It's they've just renewed that asset for another 3 years. And Zigzag was at a mining event with the chief executive, Mark Sale, toward the end of last year. Mark was talking about the Zigzag asset, and he said literally as you walk around there are huge chunks of rock there which contain pegmatites, which of course is the rock that contains the lithium hydroxide asset, and this is the feature up there. Also, there are numerous other lithium operations in the area to left and right of the asset as well. The company also has is going to be undertaking work for precious metal targets and base metals in an area called Coco East, which is to the west of the west of the Barrick Hemlo gold mine. And the company will undertake this work and push forward with this. It has also just completed a further private placing, and the directors have both taken part in that. And we've seen over the past few days, you look at the share price, and the share price has really, really sort of leapt higher. And encouragingly, I think we're going to see the stock start to make tracks towards where it was previously. Of course, it IPO'd a couple of years ago at 8p. It traded as high as 20p, but the stock has now jumped back up to, as we speak, it's up to 4p today. So that's very encouraging, I think, for holders and of course people that have bought in over the past few weeks. So you know, this is one to watch for certainly 2024.
Yeah, nice move up there in the stock. Let's see if it's sustained. Okay, what's next out?
Okay, so we've also spoken about this company in the past few weeks. We spoke about this one last week, but we've had a very strong trading update today. So a company which is recognized as a leader in the fintech landscape, that's Beeks Financial Cloud Group, BKS. So Beeks provides infrastructure as a service, and it builds, maintains, and analyzes the digital infrastructure that allows financial transactions to occur at great speed. This is significant because it's trusted by the world's largest financial exchanges. It has 22 data centers around the world. And basically thousands of over 1,000 enterprise financial clients. They have data centers in London, New York, Paris, Chicago, Singapore, Frankfurt, Sydney, Hong Kong, and also, of course, working with the Johannesburg Stock Exchange now also. CEO Gordon MacArthur set the company up in 2011. He still holds nearly 33% of the shares, and the company has just grown and continue to deliver value. We had a trading update today from the group. Full year trading update. The results to the June the 30th are expected to be in line with expectations. Revenue is expected to grow by 27% on last year. EBITDA up 27% also, and the group expects to end the financial year with net cash of 6.6 million as opposed to 5.5 million last time around. So this company's growing its cash base, and of course, you know, they're at a stage where it can be acquisitive and it can look to acquire further clients. But very strong performance from the company. You know, I think shares have also popped up nicely on that news today. And just looking at the chart now, yeah,
look at this. This is interesting. What's a game changer of Beaks? I'm hoping to speak to Gordon actually very soon. What's a game changer of Beaks is these exchange cloud, you know, systems, yeah, infrastructure as a service. And they've already signed up three exchanges. One is the largest globally. And when you start getting contracts like that, other exchanges pay attention. It just needs to, you know, regulatory approval, and then following that, it'll start earning money from it. But they say advanced progress has been made on this approval progress in line. The exchange cloud pipeline continues to build, with advanced discussions taking place with other major exchanges across the globe. That's, I mean, let's be honest, if you've got the biggest one on there, you've got others on there, and you're in advanced discussions with others, it's only a matter of time before we get more news on this. And this will really power, you know, revenue, earnings, and all that stuff. I see this as quite a special company. It's, you know, there's lots of companies on AIM. Some are good, some are rubbish. But there's very few, like, by definition, very few exceptional companies. But I think this could be an exceptional company. And so I think it's worth doing your research, everyone. But I said they've achieved compound annual growth. I don't know how many years. Last 5 years at least, above 20%. So, it's very impressive. And like I say, lots of skin in the game from Gordon as well.
Well, that's it. I think when you've got a chief executive with nearly 33% of the business, you know, owned by him, that's a big reason to buy the shares and hold the shares, because he's obviously got a very vested interest in the group. But also the nature of the business, you know, once you're integrated in with major exchanges who, you know, so many, you know, millions of transactions going through these exchanges, you've got to be able to trust the people you work with implicitly. You've got to have that trust, that integrity. And that's what Beaks have built up over the years, this trust amongst the exchanges. And once you win with one exchange, then it's almost a given that you're going to win with the exchange in the country next door. You know,
especially if you've signed one of the biggest globally, you know, that's the benchmark, you know, it's gold standard, isn't it? So once you do that, then I think so. I see several bits of news happening here. I see, first of all, regulatory approval happening with that exchange. And then you'll probably get other news on other exchanges coming out as well. That'd be very interesting. But it's one to watch, because the growth is amazing. They're generating cash now. And I think it's just, you know, you're going to have days at the day. It was very odd. The news came out, very good news. Seller obviously just dumped us some stock. I don't know what for, but it dropped down by like 8%, and now it's back up. It's positive now. So there's plenty of, and that says a lot. When you get that kind of volume coming to sales and it's bought up, that says a lot, you know? That says a lot, because people want more of the stock, essentially.
But you're always going to get that. I mean, people will sell out because they'll have possibly bought the stock in, you know, bought the stock a couple of years ago. They've hit their gain target. They have a particular trading pattern or a strategy that they use, and they sell out. You know, I wouldn't say they're selling out because they think it's gone as far as they can go. They're just selling out and taking some money off the table, you know, which is quite normal. You know, you see the shares pop up, nothing wrong with taking some money off the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Okay, anything else, Al?
Just want to finish with Zoo Digital. Of course, we spoke about Zoo a couple of I think about a month ago. This is a company that provides media and streaming platforms for studios, including Hollywood studios, it's got operations or operational hubs, should I say, in Los Angeles, of course, Hollywood, London, Dubai, Turkey, Korea, South Korea, India, Denmark, Spain. And it also has in the UK a major development centre up in Sheffield. It's the go-to partner for media businesses looking to globalise their content across different territories, of course, languages, platforms, and so on. And it's become a cornerstone partner for many companies in the role of in the digital transformation of various sectors, and of course is uniquely placed as this go-to provider. Now we're due some news on the results front very shortly. We had a trading update in May, so we've got full year results, which will confirm these numbers in August. Year-end net cash of $5.3 million. That's as reported on March 31st. The company also announced it had launched a new dummy studio in Milan following the acquisition it made of a company called Logo Sound. So they've now got Milan and Logo Sound are a major dubbing hub for producers. Company's also renewed its debt facility of $3 million with HSBC, but they noted in a trading update that trading continued to recover, with March in particular a very strong month, and is confident of meeting 2024 expectations. The company said back in May that the net cash of 5.3 million was better than it actually expected, with full year with revenues for the for quarter one, full year 25 expected to be 36% higher than full year 24 Q4. So that's very positive progress. So we're seeing this improvement now. We're seeing growth, and I think, you know, to some extent that is. It's been reflected in the share price. In fact, that's a very good-looking chart. Of course, we saw the stock bottom out back in June. Well, I say bottom out. It was down to 54p, but really building nicely now, up to 65p. And I think you know, it's holding the it's above the lows that it hit at the end of last year, December last year. And then, of course, we had that big drop in March and April. And anyone that basically bought in there when the shares were just over 21 pence has done very well indeed. But a good recovery from the group. But I think a lot of people may wait to step into Zoo. They may wait for these full year numbers to come out so they've got absolute confirmation. Of course, with that, we'll get a further outlook statement from management too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good recovery play. I did buy in here when and that news that came out, the recovering back in March. I bought in here, so it's doing well. It's rallying strongly, but it's also in quite a tight range here. You know, you could say if it breaks, if it closes above, you know, 67 pence, it could go higher. And again, if it dips below, well, I've seen that it has gone down to 52 and recovered, so maybe it's a bit more leeway there. But it hasn't gone below 60 pence, and it's started June. So
no, it's delivered a series of higher lows, really, hasn't it? So that's always good to see. You know, it's just building slowly, but I think provided there are no surprises in the August full year results statement, I think we're going to see this company make further progress.
Marvelous stuff, Zoo Digital, ticker Zoo, of course. And thanks for that, Alan. We'll speak you next week.
It's just speaking next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.